Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Well, I hope you have your Bible with you this morning for Bible study. The Sunday school hour, as Dr. Ensminger used to say, is the preparation hour for the preaching hour. So we want to get prepared. And by the way, I hope you'll remain for the morning worship service. And I hope you'll be back tonight. I have a very special message tonight. I'm entitling A Look at the Life and Times of Jesus. This message will be based on our most recent trip to Israel, which was back in November. And it will blend into some of the areas that we visited in the lands of the Bible. I think that will be appropriate for the Christmas season. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So I hope that you'll be here for these services today. Now I want you to open your... Oh, by the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God is thinking about this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. The book of origins, the book of beginnings. All things had their beginning in the book of Genesis and with God. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read verse number 15. And I hope that you will keep your Bible open there in Genesis, because we'll be going through a number of passages as we see Jesus in Genesis and the things that are prophesied about him, all of which have come and are coming to pass. Genesis 3:15. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity of opening the Bible this morning. Give us permission to read it. Give us understanding and comprehension of what it's all about. recognizing what Christmas is and what the birth of Jesus Christ means to all of us, weary pilgrims as we travel along the highway of life. We confess our need for Him, our dependence upon Him, and acknowledge without Him we are nothing and can do nothing. So I pray your blessings now upon the reading of this verse, the exposition of other verses in this book and other books through the Bible. May the Holy Spirit give us leadership. May the Holy Spirit give us inspiration, illumination, and information from the Scriptures. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 at verse number 15. God is now speaking to Satan, and here's what he had to say. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Someone might ask right away, but what does that have to do with Christmas? Everything. What does that have to do with the birth of Christ? Everything. There is no verse or passage in the Scripture that sets forth the virgin birth of Christ any more clearly than Genesis 3:15. Not only does it set forth his birth, but his conquering of Satan at the cross. So we have the cradle and the cross in Genesis 3:15. Somebody says, well, what about some commentary on that? Can we find any commentary in the Bible on Genesis 3:15? I should tell you, first of all, that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And the commentary comes from the inspired pen of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4 at verse number 4. I want to read that for you. When the fullness, now watch every word, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, verse 5, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now I want you to notice two words in verse 4. The word time and the word woman. When the fullness of the time was come. Could I tell you that God operates according to his own schedule? He has not appointed any of us on his planning commission. He doesn't need us to tell him what to do and when to do, how to do it, or where to do it. He operates on his own schedule by his own goodwill and pleasure. When the fullness of the time was come, what did God do? He sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now, when we realize the time and the woman, God operating on his own timetable, and he does it through the Virgin Mary, we have to bring in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, where the prophet wrote 750 years before the birth of Christ, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. So, in the person of Jesus Christ, God becomes one of us that we might become one with him. We bring in Isaiah again, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah wrote, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, those two statements are parallel, and yet they're worlds apart. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's all about Jesus. Look at that statement, unto us a child is born. That is the humanity of Jesus. He was just as much man as though he had never been God. at the same wonderful and inexplainable time just as much God as though he had never become man. And Luke chapter 2 at verse 7 gives us the commentary, the reality of the story. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, when Mary wrapped the baby Jesus in swaddling clothes, can I tell you that God had wrapped up the greatest gift that he could possibly give? A child is born, his humanity. A son is given, his deity. Do we have a commentary on that? We surely do. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the whole inhabited earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave the only son whom he begat, the only son whom he fathered. God gave his son. That's his deity. He was God in the flesh. Very God and very man. God the Son and the Son of God. He was more than just another name on the Bethlehem roll. He was God. He was God in the flesh. Divinity. The deity of Christ. A child is born, his humanity. A son is given, his deity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's an unbroken thread that runs through the book of Genesis. From chapter 1 at verse 1 to chapter 49 and verse 10. Now sit tight, I'm not going to read all those verses from 1:1 to 49:10. But I am going to do some select reading out of those verses. Do we realize that everything begins with God? So we look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning. Well now, preacher, when was the beginning? Only a fool would try to guess. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when Moses attended the schools in Egypt, and by the way, Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 tells us that Moses was learned in all the sciences, the knowledge of Egypt. And guess what they taught in the University of Egypt when Moses was in school? They taught, once upon a time, there was this huge cosmic egg floating around in space. By the way, where'd the egg come from? And when the atmosphere reached a certain temperature, the egg cracked open and out hatched the universe and all creation. So when Moses sat down to write Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, he simply wrote, in the beginning, there was this huge Strike that off the tape, dear brother. In the beginning, God. Do you believe those four words? In the beginning, God. Then you have no problem believing the rest of the Bible. All of the 66 books, the 1,189 chapters, more than 700,000 words, all of them inspired. So following those four words, in the beginning, God, you can rest assured that God knows what he's doing. He knows when to do it, how to do it. And again, he doesn't need our advice or our counsel or for us to serve on his commission to tell him what to do. In the beginning, God. Now in verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us. Let me stop there for a moment. Who are the us in that verse? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The thrice holy God. God, the Son, the Spirit. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So inasmuch as we're made in the likeness and image of God, we should reflect the likeness and image of God. Those who have been born into his family, that's those who have been born again, saved by the blood of Christ, Those of us who have been born again should certainly show forth some of the countenance of the God who created us and the Savior who saved us. Verse 27, following that statement, so God created, made from the dust of the earth, we're going to see. So God created man in his own image. Now God is a triune God, and we are triune beings. We have soul, spirit, and body. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. The first pair, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And we know that God brought them together in the garden and united them. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And Jesus said, a man shall cleave to his wife, forsaking father and mother, and they too shall become one. That's God's plan. Can I tell you, you cannot improve on God's plan. You cannot make it any better. You certainly couldn't make it any worse. It's his plan. It's his program. It's his purpose. It's his prescription for humankind. We are made in the likeness and image of the God of the universe. Now go to chapter 2. That's just a page over, folks. It won't take much time to find this. Verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. You know, we sometimes wonder why at a funeral, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, earth to earth, we came from that. We go back to that. But thank God, on the resurrection, we'll be resurrected just like him. We don't always know how it's going to be, what it's going to be, but we know we can believe what God said. The Lord God, look at it now, the Lord Almighty God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So much for evolution. Goodbye, Charles Darwin. So long, Tom Huxley. It's in the book. God wrote the book. I'm convinced today that we need to understand, with all of the isms and schisms that are going around and false religions, we need to stay with what God said. Mrs. Spann brought her little grandson to me this morning. Said he wants you to sign his Bible. She said, you know, we had a hard time finding a King James Bible. When we told the clerk, he said, no, you ought to have this. Oh, no, she said, the church where we go to, they don't believe in anything but the King James Version. Hallelujah. Why try to improve on what God's already perfected? You can't improve on the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it 1,000 times. Let me say it one more time. The Bible does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. So finally, he went back in the stockroom somewhere under all the boxes and found the King James Bible. How tragic. And you know, a lot of that's the fault of these preachers that are getting up and preaching out of every version under the sun, distorting the Word of God. Oh, I know what you're going to say, but my favorite television preacher uses another version. Well, he has a right to be wrong. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That cannot be said about any other creation, a living soul. A few years ago, some scientists thought they would disprove that man was made in the image of God and was a living soul. So they took this man that was about to die, and right before he died, they weighed him. Right after he died, they weighed him again. He weighed less because the spirit, the living soul, had gone to be with God. They took a dog and did the same thing right before the dog died. They weighed the dog. Right after the dog died, they weighed the dog. And guess what? It weighed the same. A dog is not a living soul. Only the one who's made in the likeness and creation and the image of God, created in His likeness, became a living soul. And the soul of man will never die. It will live on. Could I tell you that God has the final word, and there is no appeal beyond the Scripture. Remember that all Scripture, that includes Genesis 2:7, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, God's Word. Now, in this unfolding drama, humanly speaking, the key player is Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. It's found in chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three verses. The Abrahamic covenant, which will be confirmed to Isaac in chapter 17 and confirmed again to Jacob in chapter 28. Chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 3, the Abrahamic covenant. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, you know his name was later changed to Abraham, the father of all the faithful. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch this. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, keep that in mind, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now God is speaking to Abraham, the father of the faithful. He says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Now, we may not reckon at this point in some of our thinking that Israel is a great nation, but it is. And its greater glory days are yet ahead. Make no mistake about it. God is faithful to His purpose. He's faithful to His people. He's faithful to His promise. He promised Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. You know, I used to wish, when I read all these blessings that came upon Jews, I used to wish I was a Jew. But then I found out that the promises are made to the Gentiles too. Amen. I know people say, well, the Jews love money. You ever offer money to a Gentile and he refused it? Check his pulse. He's dead already. I'm reminded of the two fellows that were riding along on the train. One of them was a Jew, one was a Gentile, and the Jew was talking about things that were in their community and all the things were being done. And the Gentile said, but you know, we don't have any Jews in our little village. And the Jew said, and that's the reason it's a village. God said, I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That includes us. The Abrahamic covenant has two things in it: the land, or the soil, and the seed. Now the soil, ladies and gentlemen, is that great fertile crescent. You can trace it on a map of the Middle East, from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. That's the land that God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The seed we know is Christ. Well, how do we know it's Christ? Are we going to go to some learned scholar and find out what some philosopher has to say about it? No, we've got it in the book. And remember, God wrote the book. If you look in Galatians chapter number 3 at verse number 16, if you don't have time to turn to it or can't find it right now in your Bible, just make a note of it. Galatians 3:16, here's the commentary, and it's inspired. Now to Abraham and his seed. Watch it, it's singular. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We just read. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, out of you, from you, with you, because of you, by you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, notice it's plural, as of many. Now watch this, don't miss this. But as of one. And to thy seed, singular. You notice how inspiration comes into this verse? The changing of the tense from seed to seeds, or the plural, the singular to plural to singular. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now you know why I said a while ago that the humanly speaking, the key player in all of this drama in Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 49:10 is Abraham, because Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. And how did God bring this all about? Well, God gave to Abraham a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which composed the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those tribes is singled out as the tribe through which the seed will be perpetuated from Abraham to Jesus Christ. Isaac, the son, the promised son. Remember, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. Isaac, Jacob, Judah. Now let's stop there for a moment. We'll come back to a verse when we conclude Genesis 49:10 to this tribe, Judah. But suffice it to say at this moment that God chose the tribe of Judah through which he would perpetuate and propagate Abraham's seed until Jesus comes into the world. So we come from Isaac to Jacob to Judah, and one of his sons, Judah, and then to David. Now that's way down the line. Actually, from Abraham looking down to Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David, from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And they're all listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus. In Matthew and in Luke, Matthew giving us the official genealogy and Luke giving us the human, the natural genealogy, tracing Jesus both ways. Now watch this, both Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his foster father, came out of David's loins. And David came out of Judah. And Judah came out of Jacob. And Jacob came out of Isaac. And Isaac came out of Abraham. So we trace it down. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribe of Judah, the family of David, and then the man Jesus Christ. 14 generations, 1,000 years from Abraham to David. So the Bible, in essence, is the story of one man who developed into a nation, who narrowed into a tribe, Judah, who produced a family, the family of David, who in the end produced one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see why we said Jesus in Genesis. Now I know we usually go to Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, and that's good, and they all are complementary of what's being done here. But to get the basis, the foundation, to know where it all started. In the beginning, God. And then God brought Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees, leaving his father's land, coming over into the promised land, the land of Canaan. We know as Israel. Since 1948, when the state of Israel was brought into existence, and the War of Independence of 48. And the Arabs immediately began to attack. Then comes 1967, and that six-day war brought back once again that part of Israel that they had taken away from them for the first time in 2,000 years, they could go to the Wailing Wall when they wanted to go. Not when the Arabs said they could go, but any day they want to go. Now, the Dome of the Rock or the Mosque of Omar, we'll talk about that tonight. I don't have time to get that in today. We'll talk about that tonight, but how the Jews can come to that wall and pray for the reconstruction of their temple. We'll give you the history of the temples tonight. But I'm saying all that to say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ came out of the loins of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, out of the family of David, who reigned as king of Israel from 1015 to 975 BC, and whose loins produced Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. So the Abrahamic covenant is being fulfilled. Chapter 17 and verse 19, here's where it's confirmed to Isaac. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now his seed after him immediately will be Jacob. So the next thing we're going to have is God speaking to Abraham and telling him why he's going to do what he did. Chapter 22 and verse 18. And in thy seed, Abraham's seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Remember in chapter 22, God said to Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, take him to the place that I'll show you. Mount Moriah, where the temple later was built. Mount Moriah, and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice. And Abraham prepared everything for the sacrifice. You know that story. I'll make it short. They reached that destination. Remember, Abraham said to his servants, you wait here. The son and I, the child and I, will go yonder. But he didn't stop there. He said, and we will return. That's what he said. We're going to come back. Faith in God. To believe that God, even if he offered Isaac up in a burnt offering, he was able to raise him up again because he got him from the dead to start with. That's what the book says. And God wrote the book. So we believe the book. So, chapter 24, now in verse 60, remember that Abraham sends for a bride for his son Isaac. He doesn't go to the wayward group over here. He goes back to his own roots. He sends the servant back to his father's house. In chapter 24 and verse 60, when Rebekah had told the story of the watering at the well and so forth, verse 60 of chapter 24 says, and they, that is the family, blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Wow! Thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate. That speaks of authority and power. Possess the gate of those which hate them. You know, the ultimate victory is Israel's victory. They may lose a skirmish here and there, but they're going to win the war. And God's going to keep his promise. She, Rebecca, the mother of thousands of millions, and possess the authority, the power, the gate of those that hate her. Ultimate victory. Now go to chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Here's what God said to Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee, now watch it, and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. See, it goes back to Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Jesus. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. How many stars are in heaven? I read just the other day, now listen to this, and this is a part of my Sunday morning message, so if you don't get it now, I may throw it in then. You know, there was a star in Jacob. Not just another star, But I read the other day, we know there are 6 billion people on this planet. The scientists, the astronomers are now telling us there are enough stars for every person on this planet to have 2 trillion stars apiece. Does that blow your mind? If it doesn't, you didn't even get it. As the stars of heaven. Wow. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Wow. Now God confirms it all to Jacob. And chapter 28, beginning at verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Jesus. Now turn to 49:10, and I must close. Chapter 49 and verse 10 says, the scepter shall not depart out of Judah. There it is, the one tribe God chose out of the 12, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh, that is the Messiah, the Christ, come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Jesus, the Messiah, whose kingdom will stretch from shore to shore. All of this brings us to the fulfillment of the verses that give us the account of his birth. Isaiah 7:14 that we've given you. Isaiah 9:6-7. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Not made, not appointed, not regulated, but born King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. That's Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your blessings. Thank you for the word. May we hide it in our hearts. Bless the hour to follow. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.